I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. I'm always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. If you listen often enough, you know that every single month we have our good friend Dr. Troy Sproul on the show to talk health and the healing process. Today we're going to kick off our conversation talking about some of the hidden causes of fatigue. But don't let that stop you. I want you to text in your questions, and pretty soon we're pretty sure we'll be able to take calls. We're waiting for our call screener, but we've got text line is open. You can also email me. So text 877-933-2484 or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. Quick note though, just a caveat, Dr. Troy is not here to diagnose you over the airwaves, and his advice isn't meant to take the place of your physician. Always consult your doctor before making any changes to your health program. We just got to say that, but he's here to serve and help and bring a fresh faith perspective and even a preventative health perspective. So we don't want to wait till we get disease. We want to take care of our health beforehand and do the things we need to do beforehand. And we believe this. Dr. Troy believes this. Kim believes this, our producer. I believe this. God wants you well, and that we have a part and God plays a part. And I know for a fact that there's a step that each one of us can take today to move towards health and healing, and every step towards health and healing matters. Quick note, quick announcement, our share event is next week. Would you be praying for us? We are just, you know, amidst the civil unrest, this global pandemic, what an upside down world we live in. The gospel is as potent and powerful as it's ever been. And if there's ever a time where it needs to be preached to the mountaintops and again, over and over, it's now. And so I pray this is a time that you don't shrink back, but you rise up and say, count me in. You can't even believe the number of people who stumble on the dial or who catch a podcast late at night and hear the right word at the right time, and it changes their lives. So you want to be a radio missionary, would you prayerfully consider generously joining us so we can see what God might do in the days ahead? Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy Sproul is CEO and founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing. It's located in Eagan, Minnesota. He's an award-winning doctor. He loves God. He loves his wife and his 10 children. He's passionate about the health and the healing process. He's a great friend of the show. Dr. Troy, always an honor to have you. Welcome back.
Absolute honor to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, well, normally we're in studio together, but you have so many appointments, you couldn't make it in studio. So this is a little different for us.
Yes, I'll do it. That one's on me. I accidentally forgot to tell my staff I was on the radio, and they
booked
it up.
Yep. Funny how that happens. As long as nobody comes in while you're in on the radio. I'm just saying, give us this hour. We appreciate it so much. Well, is there a verse you've been thinking about these days you can share with us?
Yes, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind.
Say more.
So for me, with everything that's going on right now, many people may be quite fearful, but I want to focus on the second half of that, which is there is a lot of power. We have a lot of power, but when it comes to healing, love is where we want to focus, but I want to talk about sound mind. Many other times I would focus on all those other things, but sound mind is something that we're running into where people are feeling what's going on with the impact on their mental state and their mindset. And so I wanted to talk a little bit today about some of those hidden things that can influence our mind. And I want people to really understand that there are many things of this world that try and rob us of that sound mind. And so we are meant to be in this world, but not of this world. And there are things that can start to sneak in that start to actually influence our mind. The one I'm going to talk a little bit about is copper and copper toxicity. And when I kind of walk through the biochemistry of copper, the good and the bad of how that works within our body, I think people are going to be a little surprised at how that can influence their mental state. Also, other things that can rob us of this world. When we're in a state of fear in particular, we can't can't access the area of the brain that allows us to problem solve. So that's a big problem when it comes to a lot of what's going on right now all around us. And if you disagree with someone about something that's happening in the world right now, and there's any type of fear around that, then we've lost that ability to problem solve. And that's why you see a lot of people reacting to life, because they've lost their sound mind, so to speak.
Yeah.
And that's so common just with some of the environmental stuff that we're exposed to as well. And when it comes to living in this world, there's so much that God made that's good that just serves us. And there's so much that's being perverted within that that can infiltrate inside of us, whether it be a copper toxicity. When I run through some of those things and how that can affect our body, people will really get that. But even stuff like what we're watching on TV and what we're hearing from other people, that those words and those experiences can infiltrate our mind and rob us of that sound mind. So that's why it's important to be in the world. But then go back to Scripture. Go back to what you know to bring that sound mind back, and then you start to see things a little more clearly. Mm. What I'm going to talk about today is some of the stuff that sneaks in there that we don't know can start to influence our mind, like copper toxicity.
All right, we're going to dig into that. You know, we've had a number of brain scientists on the show in the years past, and they all say that our brain cannot tell the difference between entertainment and an actual experience. So if we're watching things that are traumatic to our soul, violence, you know, extreme violence, darkness, that our soul and our physiology is actually experiencing it as if it were happening to us. Well, I would say the same goes for all the vitriol, all the hatred, all of the excess. I mean, you're overexposed to that. It can't not affect you, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. And then we actually become deconditioned to it because it's our perceived norm. And so that's the real problem, is when it happens so frequently that it's the perceived norm, then we lose our sound mind, or our foundation, if you will, because that is not the norm. That's not how we were made.
Yeah, I've been saying this for a while, and I'm going to keep saying it. We've got to steward our perspective. We know how much our soul can take. We've got to steward our inputs, our intake, and how much. And in a little bit, I think we'll talk about what you and I talked about off the air. I want to walk it out very carefully. But the different stances on the mask and no mask, and some of the fear around it, some of the politicization around it, and just I want you as a doctor just to lay out these stances and just your perspective. We're not trying to initiate a political debate. We're just saying this is where these people land and why. This is where these people land and why. And what would God have us do? What does faith look like? What moves us towards wholeness and healing? I pray we can do that without stepping on too many toes, but I don't know. I'm not sure. So one of the things you wanted to talk about today is hidden causes of fatigue. And there are numerous ones, but the one that's really on your heart, we've touched on last time you were on, is this copper toxicity or copper imbalance. Especially if you start taking zinc to try to balance it out, you might have this release that impacts you significantly. So maybe set that up for us.
Yeah, so copper is actually really important in the body. It helps with energy. So if you have low copper, then you can have chronic fatigue or low energy production type scenario. So it can cause fatigue if you don't have enough. Now, there are some scenarios where someone is actually copper toxic and copper deficient at the same time. Meaning that they have a bunch of copper inside them, but it's being stored in their organs, and they're not able to use the copper. It's called bioavailable copper. And so people can have all the symptoms of copper toxicity, which I can talk a little bit about, but that's usually things like insomnia, anxiety, and fight-or-flight type responses, and have the copper deficiency syndrome. And so I want to just touch base on the two different scenarios that set that off. But copper is very, very important for overall energy. It helps with nerve conduction, so how our brain communicates. If you start to become deficient in copper, it can affect memory, it can affect nerve reflexes, just a breakdown in communication in the nervous system. It also helps with connective tissue, so sometimes people will be spraining their joints all the time, and a lot of times it's from copper deficiency or copper bioavailability in their system. It is very important for the immune system and cardiovascular system, and it is very closely related to estrogen metabolism and fertility. So a lot of women who are having challenges getting pregnant, it can be from copper imbalances. So copper is also very important for the brain neurotransmitters. That's what we see a lot of people with imbalances can get different psychiatric scenarios, from anything from depression and anxiety to the extreme end of schizophrenia. So we do see quite a bit of uses for it in the body.
Are you saying that some who deal with mental health issues, you might be able to point it to a copper toxicity or imbalance that could be remedied by just balancing that out? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so ideally, if that's all it was, yes. But once it's gotten to the extreme form, there's usually some other factors involved. But we've seen many, many people who were on that extreme anxiety and even suicidal, that once you got those balanced, it really improved quite a bit. Copper, because it affects hormones and estrogen metabolism, we see it a lot with people with endometriosis. We see it a lot with people who are having issues with how to manage stress. So they have poor stress management. So there's a lot of neuropsychiatric disorders, including schizophrenia, that they've now linked the copper imbalances to, along with some other stuff. A lot of times you'll see zinc deficiencies with the copper imbalances, and B6 deficiency. There's a disorder called Pyroli disorder, which is a combination of zinc and B6, where you can get even one of the kind of stranger symptoms is that fear of or phobia of driving over a bridge, flying on the airplane, things like that. And it's very consistent that these people will start to develop these phobias when they didn't have them before.
Wow, we're going to pause here when we come back. I want to know what to do if that's an issue for you. And guess what? Our phone lines are now open. Thanks so much. We've got a great call screener waiting for your calls. And do me a favor, okay? Don't wait till the last 20 minutes to call, because this is so often what happens. We start talking and then the calls flood in toward the back end of the show and we can't get to them all. So I want you to be brave. You could be anonymous. You don't even have to get on the air. You can call in and pass your question along, but we sure love to hear your voice. And there's also a text line that you can send your questions to, 877-933-2484. So call or text that line. This listener says, for insulin resistance, where's the best place to begin to reverse correct this? Somebody else said, what's a good supplement for immune boosting? We have to be careful with recommending products, but I'll see if you can answer that in a general way. Talking to Dr. Troy Spurl, we welcome your health and healing questions, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Love that song. Thanks for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. You know, thankfulness, being just attentive to all of the ways God has blessed you, is so good for your health, your mental health, emotional, physical, spiritual health. We're talking about health in the healing process. I care so much about that. I want you well. I believe God wants you well. We have Dr. Troy Spurl of Synapse Center for Health and Healing. It's located in Eagan, Minnesota. We get him on every month. He's a good friend of the show to answer your questions. Again, he's not here to diagnose. We don't want his advice to take the place of your doctor, but we're here just to help you take steps forward in your healing. I'm so glad you're not waiting to call. The phone lines are coming in now. We got the phone lines open, email, text line, whatever you can do, 877-933-2484. So we've got a text, we've got an email, we've got a few calls coming in, but I want to wrap up this copper toxicity thing, that some people can deal with mental health issues, some people can deal with hidden causes of fatigue because there's a copper imbalance. Can you give us maybe a basic road map out of this?
Yes. Yeah, so the bottom line is we need our zinc and copper balanced. And when copper gets out of balance, it gets stored in three areas: the liver, the brain, and the female organs. And so that can block your ability to get pregnant. It can block your ability to detox properly, and it can start to alter your mindset as well. There are generally two things that bind to copper when we're exposed to it, because it's in a lot of our food, and we need it. It's good for us if it's bioavailable, but you have to have these binders these proteins that bind to it. One's called ceruloplasmin. You can actually measure that in the blood. The other one is called metallothionein. That one they don't even have a test for yet. And that's what I want to focus on because we can't measure it, and that's why it's kind of sneaky. Metallothionein requires zinc and sulfur, and it binds to the copper, and it's found in our digestive tract. So every time you eat something that has copper in it, that is meant to attach to the copper, and then once it gets absorbed, it's kind of like the taxi driver that's going to take the copper to the cell to allow for energy. But so if you don't have that metallothionein protein, it's like not having a taxi driver. It doesn't know where to go. So it ends up either in the brain, the liver, or the female organs, causing a lot of dysfunction. Once it's there, there's nothing for it to do, so it doesn't work very well. Now, what causes a decrease in metallothionein proteins? We see that 90% of autistic children have a significant reduced amount of ability to bind metals because they don't have the metallothionein proteins. And so things like we know glyphosate or environmental chemicals and pesticides, antibiotics, can start to impact the level of the digestive tract. So if there's inflammation and there's leaky gut and things like that are starting to happen, we lose that barrier system with the proteins that bind the copper. Eventually, the copper starts to build up, and that's where we get a lot of the anxiousness and phobias, panic attacks, fears, that and mood swings and depression. That stuff happens even if there's no reason to have that happen in life.
Wow. There's so much more, it seems, we could talk about. And I see a bunch of texts coming in. If you want to return to that, Troy, we sure can in a minute here. This listener says, for insulin resistance, where's the best place to begin to reverse correct this?
So insulin resistance is getting more and more common. The number one thing that causes insulin to start to be resistant is when you're not using the cells. So what we mean by that is you're not using sugar for energy properly. So if you're over-consuming carbs or you're eating high glycemic carbs, that will eventually disrupt your ability to use insulin. So making sure your carb intake is appropriate and you're doing what's called a low glycemic diet is number one. Number two, you have to have your muscles burn the fuel for energy. So exercise, you want to make sure the exercise is there. If you're doing those two things well, the next most common problem is there's an acid imbalance or an acid buildup in your body. So insulin becomes about 50% efficient, same as your thyroid hormones, in a metabolically acidic environment. The most common cause of acid buildup in the body not related to diabetes is fungus infection or mold. So actually having an internal fungal infection where the fungus is feeding on the sugar and it actually releases acid as its byproduct, that acid gets into the body. It's kind of like having factory workers at a factory and they're working, and then all of a sudden you start feeding them alcohol. They become less efficient. Well, insulin is like that factory worker that opens up the door to allow the sugar into your cell, and if in an acidic environment, it becomes about half efficient. So that's one of the secret or hidden causes, if you will, of the insulin resistance. And sometimes other infections can cause that too, because I have patients who have insulin resistance who eat perfectly, who exercise perfectly, and it was getting worse until you cleaned up the infection. Most times it's fungal, but it can be dysbiosis and other challenges with acid buildup. And then generally, as part of the program, there's a lot of new research on what's called SKRMS. S-K-R-M-S is what you'd want to Google to look it up. But that stands for selective kinase response modulators. And those are things that help our insulin become more sensitive. So if you're doing all the other things for a healthy lifestyle and you add SKRMS, and there's a whole bunch of different ones out there, that helps your insulin become more sensitive, and then you can start to reverse insulin resistance. And it is something, even for people genetically predisposed, that you can work on and reverse.
Wow. How about this one? How do we test for too much or lack of copper?
Good question. There is a blood test for it, but I'm going to say it this way. It's a tricky one because you can have copper excess being stored in the liver, but your blood will show you're deficient. So if you don't have metallothionein proteins in the GI tract, when you take copper, it's just going to go into your blood, become bile unavailable, and then get stored in the liver.
So what are they supposed to do? That seems impossible.
So what we do, you can do, there are certain labs that can do a hair analysis. Now, hair analysis is a poor measurement of copper, but if you know how to read that, along with the blood work, along with the symptoms chart, then you can figure it out. What I recommend is have people look at the symptoms for copper toxicity and for copper deficiency. When you have bioavailable copper, you usually have a couple symptoms from both. Because and that is the most common thing that we see, is copper. People are copper toxic and copper deficient. So generally speaking, if you have identified that your liver is not detoxifying properly, there's a history of either insomnia or anxiety and or female infertility issues or endometriosis, anything like that, that's usually some sign of copper toxicity or environmental toxicity. It can be one of those two. But we're finding more and more of our most challenging patients have had the copper toxicity with the bioavailable form, meaning they're getting the fatigue part of it too. They can't actually go on any type of endurance when it comes to using their muscles.
So do I understand this right, to help bring down the levels, if you have toxic levels of copper, that zinc is the one to do that? But if you do that and you're not careful, you get this copper release that could cause all kinds of mental health issues and make you feel like you're going crazy, make you feel like you're suddenly depressed or anxious.
Yes.
And then you say C, vitamin C is the buffer. So if you're going to do zinc, you need to do vitamin C. Is that accurate?
Yes, and sulfur-containing products. So things like broccoli extract, and broccoli itself is good for that. So zinc and sulfur and are what make up the metallothionein protein. You can use a binder sometimes, like activated charcoal. That gets all heavy metals and other things bound to it. But the sulfur is the other part of that. And then vitamin C, like I said, buffers it, especially if it's liver congestion. The vitamin C helps quite a bit.
So if you do that, and you do that correctly and drink all kinds of water, and you start to feel better, what symptoms, we're just almost ready for a hard break here, but what are some of the symptoms that would eventually go away?
Basically, we should see energy start to go up, anxiety go down, stress management or the ability to manage and handle stress go down, the racing mind and or fears start to go down, and things like one of my last patients, they were younger, in their 20s, and they played video games. And they didn't know why they would do what's called raging, where they got all of a sudden just out of control. And as we started to pull the copper out, then that started going away.
Wow.
So we start to see personality changes, and it will be more reflective.
We got to go. Hold on one second.
Yep,
we'll finish this on the other side. And this electrician says, am I more susceptible to copper toxicity because I'm an electrician? We'll answer that as well. A lot of texts coming in. Hang with me. We're going to get to as many as we can. We'll be back in a minute. For tuning into Suzy Larson Live. I'm not a doctor, but I play one on radio. That's the big joke. So I'm going to give you some health and healing advice. Are you ready? Get to bed on time. Drink lots of water. Cut back on sugar and all your junk food. Smile. Dance. Laugh. Belly laugh like multiple times a day. Count your blessings all day long. Pray your heart out and believe that God hears you when you pray. Forgive people, love well, and turn your back on fear. Turn your heart towards faith and trust God to lead you every step of the way. You know, those are some of the basic disciplines that we let go of in the culture of chaos that we're in right now. And we want so much for you to really enjoy the abundant life. That doesn't mean being tone deaf to what's going on, but you've got to steward your health and your perspective so that you have hope to impart to people who are hopeless right now. Every month we have Dr. Troy Sproul. on the show. He is CEO, founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing. It's located in Eagan, Minnesota. Got lots of questions. We've been talking about copper toxicity. It's a hidden cause of fatigue. And somebody texted in and said, what about zinc? Because everybody's been talking about vitamin D and zinc to help build your immunities against COVID. And you and I touched on this last time you were on. And so maybe expound a bit more. The idea that maybe someone's taking zinc because they want to, you know, in some insurance against COVID, but suddenly now they're experiencing anxiety, maybe a little bit of depression, and they're not making the connection at all, but it's maybe because they've got copper toxicity and the zinc is releasing some of that and causing some symptoms.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So if you take zinc, the only symptom that is expected is maybe a little bit of nausea when you take it, especially if you take it away from food, because zinc is used in the stomach. And so it can actually, in the beginning, cause you to get a little nauseous. I encourage you just to decrease the dose and then keep going with it. But if it starts to cause some other mental instability issues, then that's highly likely that you're dealing with a copper toxic syndrome that should be addressed. And generally speaking, zinc is important for both immune systems, for men and women. Copper, though, has a lot more feminine traits. It works with estrogen, it goes and works with the ovaries, whereas zinc works with the prostate, works with the male organs. And so we start to see men who have excess copper toxicity start to develop female traits, even something called gynecomastia, which is breast development. We've seen that with men developing, they come in, they're developing that, and it's really a copper toxicity scenario that we have to detoxify them from. So there's all types of different variations within that. With viruses, any virus, not just COVID, but any viruses, we have a defense barrier system in our lungs and our immune system that is zinc-dependent and antioxidant-dependent. So that's why you're seeing a lot of vitamin D and zinc recommendations, because of the effectiveness at fighting off viruses. But you just want to know that as you bring these things into play, if you're noticing anything else that's not quite right, there's a reason for that. And if there's more of a mental issue as far as fight or flight, depression, anxiety, insomnia, then just look at copper toxicity as the potential problem there.
So if they're taking zinc and they're getting those kind of symptoms, what would their next step be? Add vitamin C?
Exactly, okay. Which is going to help with the virus as well. So okay. Add vitamin C, and you can increase the vitamin C to the point of loose bowels, generally speaking, and that's safe and effective for people to protect you in a couple different ways.
It's not even possible to do a show with Dr. Troy without him bringing in the whole bathroom scenario. It's not possible. Somehow you get it in there.
I even held back this time. I
know.
I had a whole conversation in my head already.
At least we don't have to see the chart that you hold in your pocket every day because you're at your office today. All righty. Well, this caller called in and said, what is vitamin K4, omega-3, and fish oil? What do you say?
So I'm not sure if they mean if that's all in one supplement or not, but
maybe what are they both for? What's vitamin K4? What's omega-3 for?
Okay, so omega-3 basically is it's got a lot of different functions, and the anti-inflammatory is one of the main ones. But a lot of our brain, omega-3 has what's called DHEA and EPA in it, and a lot of our cellular structure of our brain and our cells is made from that. So it's kind of like the 2x4s of a wall that we put in a house. So that's one part of it. But this is God working here. He also uses that same ingredient to put out fires. So it's an anti-inflammatory. And so it's very important to help with the building blocks, but also it's part of our immune system.
Wow.
And so with the inflammation part of it.
When someone deals with inflammatory issues, can they double the dose, or is that not something they should do?
Generally speaking, yes, because the recommended doses are pretty low, and people with non-alcoholic fatty liver or things like that, they generally recommend 3 grams a day, and especially if you're under the supervision of a doctor who's trained in nutritional counseling, then it won't be a problem to do that. And we do use a lot higher doses in our practice for different inflammatory conditions.
So this listener says, being an electrician, am I more susceptible to copper toxicity? What do you say?
You know what? I didn't answer the vitamin K part of that.
Okay,
so the quick thing on vitamin K is it helps with blood clotting, and so it's an enzyme that makes proteins. So it just keeps the blood. There's blood thinners and blood clotting, and we want a nice balance between that. So that's where it helps with that that aspect. And omega-3 is more of a blood thinner, a weak one. So as far as because it reduces the inflammation. As far as when you work with copper, you are more susceptible to copper toxicity. We do see more copper coming from people who cook with copper pots or pans and heat copper. But that is a scenario that we generally see that. One of my worst cases I ever had was a family that came in all with the same symptoms, and we found that they had copper pipes in their home. The husband accidentally hooked them up incorrectly, and the copper was leaching into their water, and they were drinking it daily. And so it's usually from sources like that, older homes with copper pipes. If you're working directly with copper, it's a metal, and it can, you'd be surprised how much of that can get into your system. We've seen a lot of people who work with metals in shops and stuff end up with metal toxicity, and it's really important to get that addressed and detoxified. Heavy metals, other than copper, like mercury, lead, and the different metals people work with, can bioaccumulate and cause dysfunction in the body.
So in that kind of situation, this electrician, I'm just asking, and I might be wrong, so of course you correct me, but would a wise kind of a maintenance supplement for them be something like zinc C and activated charcoal? Just, is that something that they should do or no?
Yeah, so zinc for sure, because especially if there's any family history of prostate issues or anything like that, you got to look at your symptoms. So when you look at copper toxicity personality, just see how much of your personality lines up with the copper toxicity or copper toxicity symptoms, and that'll kind of help you identify if there's some problems.
Okay.
Or zinc deficiency. So he may not need to do anything because his body is good. He's got enough metallothionein protein and ceruloplasmin, and he's getting rid of it. We don't know how efficient the body is, but generally speaking, if there's intestinal inflammation, we become worse at pulling the copper out.
Hmm.
So it is important to look at what your symptoms have, body awareness. We don't want to just do things making assumptions. So if you can identify what's not quite working or certain symptoms, and they do line up with either zinc deficiency or copper excess, then definitely I would add in the zinc and vitamin C for sure, and then a potential binder. Also, you can do things like protecting yourself, wearing gloves and little things like that actually help for handling it directly.
So they can Google copper toxicity personality, right, and copper deficiency?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is a medical doctor by the name of Dr. Lawrence Wilson. And if you just Google Dr. Lawrence Wilson, MD, and copper toxicity, you should be able to find a document. He's been publishing research for 30 years, but I believe in 2007 he updated things, and so it should still be out there.
Wouldn't it be something? I mean, if there are some listening today that what ails them is that, and if they could just take the path of, just be careful, but you're taking these supplements and kind of easing your way out of it, might change your symptoms and your perspective. What a blessing that could be. This listener says, what is a good vitamin C dose to boost immunity? Is it advisable to take baby aspirin if strong family history of heart attack at early age, brother 35, father 45, and I'm a female? What do you say?
So when it comes to vitamin C, everyone's a little different. And you can actually take too much vitamin C. So you got to be really careful and pay attention to your body. People who have oxalate toxicity, which can cause fibromyalgia and joint aches and pains, well, sometimes the vitamin C can actually make that worse. So you have to, if you take vitamin C and it causes increased body aches and pains, then you want to not take more than 1,000 milligrams.
What's so challenging in those situations, I'm one of those people with the oxalate, but also I think I have a copper thing, so I can't do zinc alone. But I take C, and then I get symptoms. So what do you do when you're stuck like that?
So you take the max amount that you can, and it's a balancing act until things get...
Until you find it.
Yep, and that's... Most of my job is actually navigating people through exactly that, because we call those landmines. So you had to navigate through those two little landmines. It's a smaller path than most, but there's still a path there. So you take 1,000 milligrams or less, just be very consistent with it, and it'll just take a little longer. Whereas other people, you go to bowel tolerance, and there's a ton of research. And in fact, Linus Pauling won a Nobel Prize for it many, many moons ago. But he would have people on 20,000 milligrams or higher a day and found all kinds of value to the immune system. Now we know quite a bit more, so we don't need to go quite to that extreme, because back then it was the strongest antioxidant that we could measure, and now we've got a laundry list of antioxidants that are even stronger than that.
Interesting. Please talk more about the fight or flight syndrome. I've thought for years it was my traumatic childhood. Now I'm wondering if it's a copper issue. Wow, great question.
Yeah, and this is why I mention it, because it's so easy, especially with the world, how it's going right now, it's so easy to just say it's circumstances. But there's a lot of these hidden things like copper toxicity. So you can't dismiss the fact that our childhood, if it's been bad or rough, or, you know, stuff is there. But what I can tell you is, when, as Christian in particular, when you get to the point of forgiveness, when you get to the point of surrender, when you get to the point of just letting God and letting go, it becomes a permanent fix. And so we've seen that within my patient population, and the people that have worked on their traumatic past and have accepted it and have moved forward or living life, there may be a scar, but it's not something that's affecting you currently causing the fight or flight. There's so many other things that you can look at and work on that become triggers. So this is one of the challenges, one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this, because digestive inflammation that causes muscle tension in the head and neck can rotate the occiput, causing a sleep disorder where you release fight or flight hormones in the middle of deep sleep. That's another cause of fight or flight. And so keeping your digestive system good and clean and regular is going to help with both of those scenarios, because metallothionein protein and copper toxicity occur in the GI tract, reducing inflammation in your digestive system. All of these things help to eventually pull you out of the fight or flight and getting into deep sleep. What you just said at the beginning of the show, as far as just some of the gems that people can rely on, those are the things that can help pull us out of fight or flight. And there might be some little things like copper toxicity, digestive inflammation, dysbiosis, a genetic issue with what's called COMT, where you're not detoxifying adrenaline and dopamine sufficiently. Those are things that can kind of sneak in there, and we can correct them by cleaning up some of what's going on internally with our diet, our lifestyle, and improve on our overall health with our immune system at the same time.
We're going to go to break here, but going out to break, the listener said, did he answer my question about the baby aspirin? What do you say about that one?
Right. So I generally am not a fan of baby aspirin. In fact, the American Medical Association just withdrew that as a recommendation. And so they used to, for quite a while, they said that because it thins the blood, we just have better ways to thin the blood now. And with a genetic predisposition to heart disease, usually the genes are in what's called APOE3 or APOE4. There are other causes to that, so we want to make sure that antioxidants from rich fruits and vegetables are used. Essential fatty acids like omega-3 are very important, reducing inflammation, and then making sure infection and heavy metals are addressed is having a much more impact on that. That was last year that they sent the people who are registered with the AMA. I got a text message about it, actually, about their decision to pull that as an official recommendation from the American Cardio Association. So.
All right. All right. When we come back, we'll ask about a gentleman text in, what happens if we eat too much protein, and then what to do about a fatty liver. We'll answer those when we come back. Talking to Dr. Troy Sperl of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, talking about the health and the healing process. Want so much for you to have hope, to have a little bit of grit, to take some steps towards healing and the health process, because God cares and it helps you bring your best self. When you show up in life, when you feel your best, everybody wins. We'll be back in a minute. That song. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. Oh, I want you to have hope. I want you to have hope. Our hope in Jesus does not disappoint. As Dr. Warren Wiersbe says, this is a no-so hope, not a hope-so hope. We've got reasons for hope, and that's actually good for your health. Hey, every month I have Dr. Troy Sperl on the show to answer your questions about health and the healing process. And we've got a number of questions. We're going to try to get to these, but this one is from a gentleman who texted in two questions. What happens if we eat too much protein? And two, what to do about a fatty liver? What do you say?
Good question about eating too much protein. So it really depends on whether or not you're able to digest the protein and break it down and then use the amino acids. Amino acids are crucial. So the people who can digest protein well, it's hard to eat too much. Now, if it's unclean protein, unclean meat, meaning there's antibiotics in there or hormones, different story. If the fat is unclean fat, different story. We now know that we need a little bit of saturated fat, so that's actually good for us. But if we can't break it down, it can start to cause digestive problems, and then the bacteria will actually feed off of the undigested protein. And if you do overconsume protein, for some people, it can influence their kidney function. It can start to cause problems with their kidneys. So the reality is to look at how your body metabolizes or uses it. There are some people where they just require quite a bit more protein than other people. The more muscle mass you carry, the more protein you're going to need to replace the muscles. So that's a good recommendation. That's why you see a lot of big guys who may require extra protein, because they've got a lot of muscles that they need that protein for.
How about this one? Recommendations for repeated UTIs, urinary tract infections, especially recurring, and recommendation other than antibiotics.
Oh, you know what? I just realized I forgot to do the fatty liver. I'm having.
Oh yes, that was my fault.
Studio,
my fault too.
Forgetful.
No, that's very good.
So for the non-alcoholic fatty liver, simple. Let's keep it simple. You have to reduce the carbs to try and keep it around 100 grams of carbs a day and try and take at least 3 grams of omega-3 fish oils per day. And you want to make sure the bowels are moving. And if that doesn't cut it, it means something is interfering with your body's ability to digest through the liver system, which is usually a bile deficiency. And that bile problem can come from not having enough amino acids, taurine or glycine in particular, but the number one thing that causes that, again, is glyphosates and pesticides. So important to know that part of it, especially if you're eating the diet and not the liver's not responding.
So hard, though, when you think about it. I mean, I know 100 grams of carbs is not much. And so where do they get the brunt of their calories, proteins or fats?
Proteins and fats, exactly. Yep. Right.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. This dear listener says, hey, Dr. Troy, thanks for sharing your gift with all of us. All so interesting. The human body is so complicated, so wonderfully made. Really great. All right. This dear listener says, I wake up several times a night with tongue on fire or dipped in acid is what it feels like. God bless you. Oh, my goodness. What's that about?
Let's see here. So burning tongue syndrome can be a lot of different things. So we've had a few cases over the years. One of the stranger cases was a sleep disorder where their tongue would move and constantly be rubbing up on the top of the mouth. So you have to assess that. It was a sleep disorder, but a movement disorder as well. So if there's any history of like shaking hands or intention tremors or anything like that, I would investigate a movement disorder component to this. There also, you see that with B12 deficiency, but the tongue generally will become a little cracked and swollen. So if it's not cracked and swollen, then we also look at infection and heavy metal toxicity as the cause for it. But burning tongue syndrome is awful, number one, and unfortunately very, very common. Again, if it's not the movement disorder or the B12 deficiency, then you do want to look at hidden forms of infection or toxicity with heavy metals. So there's a lot of other factors in play with this for me to kind of navigate through that. But the movement disorder one, kind of, you don't see that too often, and that caught us off guard as far as having to fix it, because we didn't find the normal deficiencies when we assessed the person. So
Wow. All right, here's where we're going to have a conversation that I want to navigate as carefully as we can. But before the show, you and I and Kim were talking about some of the challenges you're facing right now as a clinic. Just share what you can as far as what it's like for you navigating and some of the stances on mask, no mask, and how that all plays out. What are you supposed to do about it? What do you say?
Well, my prayer goes out to all the small business owners and even some of the larger companies, because in 22 years, this has been the most challenging year to manage just staff and the business, I'm going to say, because right now there are so many different points of view that you have to be very, very careful and considerate. So, for example, when we were looking at the standards as far as what I could and should do, this is past the early stages. When we didn't know what COVID was and what was going on, we were pretty much locked down. We were closed. We were deemed essential. So when we opened back up, we had to do, me as the owner, I had to do extra digging into the laws and what we were looking at. And OSHA, which is our standard for our employees, we have to make sure our employees feel like they have a safe environment. And so the OSHA standard and guidelines were, it's their job to provide a safe environment for the employees, or at least the employees know that they can go to OSHA to report us if we're not providing that safe environment. So we had to navigate through that. The challenge was what people deem safe. And that's what's changing. So some people, if you're not wearing a mask, they don't feel safe. However, other people have a different viewpoint, where if you're wearing a mask, it's not safe. Because in the research, there's OSHA itself says that masks, their stance is that masks are not healthy for kids and that they don't recommend them, but they also want to have a safe environment. The research, there's a lot of research on both sides of that conversation, and we went through it all as a team and found quite a bit of information. And the long and the short of it is, like, there was two research articles where surgeons actually checked for infection rates post-surgery, wearing a mask and not wearing a mask. And when they didn't wear a mask performing surgery, it didn't actually affect the infection rates. In fact, they went from 4.6% down to 3.9%, which is statistically insignificant. But there are other researchers that research has shown that they potentially are effective, and then also other research that shows that they're potentially causing other illness. And this is assuming everyone's wearing the mask properly and things like that. And just so it becomes very tricky. So there's a lot to that people will sit and can argue either side of it, and they'll be right. Based on the research that's out there, you can find it one way or the other. So the problem is to navigate through that. We have patients that aren't comfortable.
I'm so sorry.
In certain circumstances.
I got to stop because we're going to be out in about 20 seconds here.
Okay.
But your big point, too, was that fear is bad for us. I wish we had 2 hours today.
Yes,
maybe say
yes.
Just a quick word about that.
Yeah. The whole point is we want to come back to the original statement with 2 Timothy about directing people to love and of sound mind, because that's where healing occurs.
That's so good.
So we're trying to navigate through that and bring them back to the love and sound mind.
Mm-hmm. Hope you found some encouragement here today. And I saw a question come in. We'll try to get that. I'm going to ask Troy off the air and text you back. Really love that we get to spend this time together. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.